Hi, today's April 25th, 2021. I'm Todd Agassiz-Ward, my good friend John Westfall. And we've got another special guest, a friend that we have not spoken with in person, at least in a long time. We follow him on social media, Rocco Augusto. And I should note one of the things about Rocco that I don't even know if he knows. So our fives of listeners know that I have a daily doodle project where, you know, I spend 15 to 30 minutes cranking out a doodle every night. Rocco was one of the inspirations for that. Yeah, when you had your paintings that you were posting, I was like, oh man, that is so cool. And it's like, that's something I would really, really, really want to do one of these days. And I never did until I got my Apple Pencil and I needed something to do. But anyway, Rocco, good to see you, buddy.
Thank you. And by the way, those drawings have been coming out excellent.
Oh, thanks.
I've been keeping up with them over the years, though I haven't had a chance to paint much myself. I ran out of room.
And we're going to talk about why you ran out of room later in the podcast, because it's a good, I don't know if it's a good reason, but it sure is an interesting reason. Rocco can't say a lot about what he's working on, but he does work for a company many of you have probably heard of, is Roku. And so how many Rokus have I bought? As I told John just the other week, I had one Apple TV, I had a Roku already, and then I had an Apple TV, the second generation, the first small one. Then it broke, and ever since then, I've bought a series of Rokus. So, you know, just trying to help out a buddy, you know, what can I say?
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Now I think I have a Roku, at least one Roku device in every room of my house right now.
Oh my goodness. I've got two, so I'm not quite there, but I have one upstairs, one downstairs. Okay, a couple of things I wanted to mention before we get started. One, for those of you who use Chromebooks, and you use a Chromebook, don't you, Rocco, on occasion at least?
I do. Actually, right now I'm using a Pixelbook Go.
Nice.
It is my favorite portable, just mobile. If I don't have to work, but I still want to have access to a Linux terminal.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Stable, great battery life. Can't say enough good things about it.
So Google just announced a couple of weeks ago that they enhanced Chromebook OS. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is they called it the Everything button. I said, what the heck is the Everything button? I had to go look it up. It's a little search key that replaces where the caps lock normally is on a Chromebook. Or Chromebooks don't have caps lock. They have this search key, you know, like a magnifying glass. But it's apparently called Everything button. Anyway, now the Everything button does more of everything, because you can press it and do calculations and all kinds of stuff. So I'll have a link in the blog associated with this podcast to that link. And the next thing I just wanted to go through, and you can please chime in, Rocco. I don't think you're an Apple user much, but if you want to chime,
I do a lot of testing for work stuff on Apple.
Yeah, but if you want to chime in, because you know this past week Apple had their big spring announcement, and John and I had 9 predictions last week Sunday, 2 days before announcement, and nobody is going to hire us as prognosticators because we only got 5 of 9 right. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah. The one that I think I'm most shocked over is the absence of the iPad mini, because that thing is now, if we're waiting on another release cycle, it's going to be another 200 days or so added to its count. So, again, I think the iPad mini is on death watch, where we're sort of wondering what Apple's plan is. So,
what was the?
That's the one that I was most disappointed at.
What's the what was the time frame between the Mini 4 and the Mini 5? Wasn't it like 3 or 4 years? I mean, it was a long time.
Oh yeah, it was. I'll bring it up in a moment, but I think it was at least 600 days or something like that. Yeah. Just some egregiously long period of time. So that was when we were all convinced that it was going to be dead the first time.
Yes.
Because it seemed like Apple was just slowly letting it go off into the sunset. But that's where I'm kind of concerned, because it does seem like they're now, again, pivoting all in on larger iPads. That's the frustration I have these days.
Me too. And, you know, I should note that John, I think, had some, like, a work John is a professor at a university, and John had like student meetings or something right in the middle of the day, his time, when Apple made the announcements. And so I told John, I will text you if there's something I think you want to buy. And I didn't text him anything.
Yeah, which I knew was bad. I knew that was a sure sign of impending doom. But yeah, it's been now 769 days since the iPad Mini was refreshed, and the record is 922 days. That's between September 2016 and the most recent release. So
yeah.
Yeah, they're keeping us wondering with the iPad Mini.
Doggone it. All right.
I wonder what their markup on that is. I wonder what their markup on it is because you'd imagine if it. I mean, they obviously sell well because all Apple products sell well.
Yeah.
But there's probably not like a huge profit margin on it for them to want to invest into.
That might be it.
Into just building something that they have to sell for less. That, I mean, when you look at the new M1 chips, it's going to have a lot of the same hardware in it. It's just going to be a smaller screen, but like price wise, the Mini is always more reasonably priced within most people's price range.
Although right now, the new iPad or iPad Air, I can never remember which one is the current lowest cost one, but they're right about the same price as iPad Mini, I think, you know, with a bigger screen. But I want an iPad Mini because it has a small screen, you know, not because it's cheap necessarily cheaper, although that's definitely a draw. But I can carry it anywhere without, you know, carrying a big old bag with me, which a regular size iPad still requires, in my opinion. You know, I can have a man bag, you know, and be sauntering around town and, you know, not look too conspicuous like I'm carrying a lot of hardware with me. But at any rate, speaking of the iPads, the new iPad Pro 2021 was announced. I checked, John, by the way. I bought one last year, so I do have the iPad 2020. The only two big things. There are a couple of big things in this one, and I'm really giving some thought about buying it. I didn't text you because when it was announced, I thought, I'm not going to buy anything. So you got to buy the 12.9-inch version to get the mini LED display, which is supposed to be super bright. But you know what? I was looking hard at my iPad Pro 2020, and it is plenty bright. No complaints about the brightness, so that's not a draw, you know? M1 chip, at first I said, meh, because I've got an M1 MacBook, so you know, I've got the M1 experience. And my iPad Pro 2020 is plenty fast. Again, no complaints. But here's why I've been spending the last couple of days thinking about buying another iPad only 1 year after I bought my last one, is Procreate, which is the app I use for my daily doodles, is coming out with something optimized for the M1. And it's going to allow you to paint on 3D photographic surfaces in AR mode. And so that I find really intriguing as a doodler. So I'm giving it some thought. I don't think I'm going to get 12.9 only because the price point is so ridiculously high. And so now the major question is, do I get a 256 gigabyte model, which is what I got last year. And I probably still have over 200 gigabytes free. Or do I get the 512 gigabytes on the assumption that I'm going to be doing more stuff with it? Thinking about it, you know, the other thing it has, by the way, I just learned about it today. Look at some reviews. The new iPads have a track you feature, so that if you're using it as a, you know, video conference thing, it'll like, if you're moving around, like if you're doing a demo, it will actually track you and keep you in center. And also because the camera, the front facing camera, is on the side, it makes it like you're not avoiding eye contact with other person. So I'm giving it some thought. I don't know. You, John? Rocco?
Well, I have the 2018 11-inch iPad Pro, and it's the workhorse that I take every day with me.
Yep.
If I were to upgrade, I don't know if I'm ready to kind of upgrade that one yet, because it seems to still be doing everything. I'm almost tempted to do the 12.9 again, just to get all those features and start playing around with some of the stuff you're tempted by, but I don't know. I don't need another iPad. I'm happy with the one I have. I was the guy who used to have every iPad. I had the 12.9, the full size, and the iPad Mini, and an iPhone. And that was just way too many iOS devices for me to keep up with. So I don't know. I've lived off of MacBook, iPad, iPhone for a number of years now, and I might just keep on with that versus adding another device in and trying to make it actually useful enough that I can justify buying it.
You know, and the funny thing, John, is that I was the exact opposite of you because I didn't buy anything between the iPad 2 and the iPad Pro 2016. So I didn't buy anything for like 4 years. And then I've now bought three iPad Pros since 2018, I guess. Any rate, I'm thinking about it. You know, one thing you don't have, by the way, that may or may not attract you, something that I've been trying to find a use for and still haven't, is LiDAR. You know, last year's 2020 iPad Pro introduced LiDAR. I still haven't found a useful use for it. But, you know, you never can tell. Something may pop into my head.
Well, that's one of the reasons I haven't been tempted by it, because you keep saying you don't have any uses for it. So I'll wait until you find a good use, and then I'll buy one with LiDAR to use it for that. But the Procreate features, you know, I keep looking at both of you as having this artistic talent that I really would like to tap into at some point in my life. And so the Procreate idea is interesting to think about the AR drawing on that.
Yeah, I'm really... that was the whole reason I restarted the thinking about should I buy a new one or not, even though I just bought one a year ago. But we shall see. And also, by the way, I think pre-orders start on the 30th, so we have a couple of days to think about it. You can do the pricing model right now, though, you know, figuring out how much RAM you buy and all that stuff. Anyway, okay, next up. So that was a hit. You know, we got that one right. It was M1 based, MLED, blah blah blah. We got that right. Apple Pencil 3, that's a minus. So you know, we're back down to zero, net zero. No Apple Pencil 3. iPad Pro Magic Keyboard 2, we got that one right. But what we didn't get, we didn't even think about, was what happens to the old Magic Keyboard? It's not compatible with the new iPad Pro. So if you spent
magic.
Yeah, if you spent $350 last year or 2 years ago, whatever, on that Magic Keyboard, and now you're going to buy a new iPad Pro, get ready to spend another $350 on another keyboard. Me? I'm going to be sticking with my $30 Anker or my $40 Logitech Bluetooth keyboard. They seem to work from model to model, you know, without an upgrade. Okay, so that was a plus one. We got the keyboard things later. iOS 14.5 wasn't even mentioned. But we know it's coming. So I gave us I said that was zero, I guess. But so it's net neutral. I think it's supposed to release early this week, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I'm looking forward to the ability to open my iPhone with a face mask on, if you have a watch. So that's a feature I want. Rocco, you're an Android user, right? I'm going to guess.
I am, and my biggest pet peeve right now is because I broke my Pixel 5, so I had to go back to my Pixel 4 XL.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just, if I'm out and about, I care about security, so I got a ridiculously long password. You can't face unlock. So every time I have my mask on, I got to type in this ridiculously long password to unlock it. And I'm just like, I could go down to something less, but then I get anxiety and I'm just like, I want the fingerprint sensor back on the Pixel 5. But I also love the whole Stoli face unlock thing going on in the Pixel 4 XL. And I really want them to smush them together.
You know, I have the 4A, and it does have the fingerprint sensor, so it's really handy when I'm out and about. It's much more handy than an iPhone at the moment.
Hopefully, if all goes well, I'll get my Pixel 5 back Tuesday.
Yay. It's really nerve-wracking to be without your primary phone, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just bought it, too, two months ago. And I literally dropped it off the couch onto the ground, and the whole screen just shattered. And my Pixel 4, I dropped that off the second story of my house into a pile of gravel. It bounced off the gravel, ran into a little creek, and then slid down the hill into the street. And that thing doesn't even have a scratch on it.
Holy cow. Well, you know, I do have a full front cover on my 4A. So I have not dropped this one much, thankfully. But I do have that protective covering in the front and back. Because it's just usually in my pant pocket. I really like the idea of having the front cover. And my iPhone, by the way, is joining my shirt pocket. And it doesn't have a front cover. And I actually dropped it enough that I cracked the $50 Apple case that I bought for it. It wasn't OtterBox, so That was disappointing. It's only a year old, so I bought a $12 case case for this one. It seems just as protective. All right, iPad Mini 6, as John and I mentioned earlier, we got a complete miss on that one. Not even a hint of iPad Mini 6. AirTags, okay. We got that, you know, you got to be right once in a while, because we've been predicting that one for about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I was not excited about it until I found out you could put a rabbit on the engraved on it.
I noticed that, yeah. I thought it was funny. The Verge published an article yesterday that was the AirTags are the most Apple product they've ever made. And it, you know, just looking at what AirTags can do, and how Apple, you know, has put in just the level of customization, but then also you need to buy the accessory to hang it onto something. It doesn't have a loop built into it. You can put emojis on it, and you can access things from around the world using the Find My Network and all of that. So it's an interesting Apple-y thing to do, to basically take Tile and say, what are the limitations of Tile? Let's just get rid of all those and make our own.
Yeah. But here's, speaking of cases, so what John is saying, if you haven't seen the app, and there's AirTag reviews all over the place, go take a look at them. So it's like Tile, like John said. When you get an AirTag, it is literally just an AirTag with a battery in it. If you put it into something, it's fine, but there's no way to attach it to anything without spending more money for accessories. And so most of the accessories from Apple are between $15 and $40, I'm going to say, for various cases and keylinks. But if you want the Hermes luggage tag for your $25, if you buy them in a four-pack, for your $25 AirTag, or $29 if you buy one, the Hermes luggage case is $649. So,
yeah.
You know, it's crazy. You can let's do the math. You can do 4 times 24. You can buy almost 26 AirTags for the price of one Hermes case for one AirTag.
It's like people have never heard of duct tape.
But you know, kudos to Apple for putting a CR2032 battery in the thing. Mm. Those batteries, you know, are now getting cheaper and easier to find than ever, because people just order them online. So gone are the days where you used to spend $7 for one at the grocery store if they had it. So now you pay $7 and you get 50 of them in a pack, or some outrageously large amount. And yeah, I at least compliment them on that.
Sam's Club has them in 8-packs. So you can go to Sam's Club and buy 2032s. And yeah, you're right. They're in everything. AirTags. So I'm waiting for that. They were supposed to be available end of this week, but I think shipping dates are now slipping to late May or something. Let me go check mine. Well, since, you know, when you buy stuff from Apple now, they helpfully put it right into your shortcut. So, you know, you can obsessively check on things. Where's my shortcuts? Here is your shortcuts. Check order status. Doesn't even say when it's going to. It just says the order status will be available soon. Yep, nothing. All right. Okay.
But I thought I saw it was pretty late.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see now. We talked about AirTags, iPods 3, nothing. Right? So that's a minus one. Apple TV. This will make Rocco happy. My note in the Apple TV is, I switched to Roku years ago. So it was like, whatever, you know. It's got a new remote control that I guess is kind of interesting. It works with your old Apple TV if you've got one. I just haven't found Apple TV that exciting. Although I think they did lower the price. Although it's still not cheap enough for me to go buy one. And the one that, Rocco's got it. I thought he saw his hand up.
They also now have the Apple Channel on Roku TV, so you can just, all your Apple content, you can just go hop on
that.
Roku TV or your Roku set-top box and, watch a lot of there.
I did not know that. Obviously,
I'll see if I can find the link for the show notes.
Okay. And the last announcement, I guess, from that event on 420 was that I predicted there would be no new Macs announced, and I was completely wrong. They announced the M1-based iMacs that's ultra-thin. I think you can get them in different colors, which I don't care about. Oh, they also announced a purple iPhone 12, which I didn't care about. I don't think you're in a... I don't think John's in the market for a new iMac. Are you, John? I don't know if you still have one.
Not right now.
Yeah.
So I'm still using two Apple Cinema displays from 2010. So those keep me in big monitor territory. I'm actually happy they've both survived because one of them went on the fritz for about a year and I unplugged it, let it alone for a year, and then it started working just fine. So, yeah, self-healing products are, I guess, Apple's specialty.
All righty. So in the end, we were 5 correct, 4 wrong. If we were a baseball player, that'd be awesome batting average. For everything else, that's not so great. You know, I guess for three-pointers, that'd also be pretty awesome in basketball. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, not many other things that kind of track record is considered good. Although I know, who's that guy, that famous analyst who keeps predicting there's going to be an Apple TV display? He's been predicting it for like 12 years now. Still hasn't happened. I won't even mention a name because, you know, it's... But those of you who follow the market probably know who I'm talking about. Okay, Rocco. Thanks for hanging in there with us while we went through a couple of news items. It is so good to actually see you. So this is an audio podcast, mm-hmm. but John and I are able to see each other and Rocco. So how have you been, man? It's been like 12 years probably since we last saw each other.
Yeah. God, has it been that long? I think I was a Microsoft MVP in 2009, 2010. Yeah. So it's been like a good 11 years. Yep. Life's been good. After... my Microsoft MVP stint, I started working for Roku, and that was, way back in 2011, when the company was still super small. I think there was probably about 100 of us there. And from that time on, I've just been pretty much heads down working. I wrote a book with John in, like, 2012. That was a fun experience. Writing a book is hard. I don't know if... I always read books. I'm like, oh, I could do that. And writing a book is really hard.
And they actually approached me to do a update of our book. And I looked at it and went, I'm not quite sure. You know, that whole area of Android web applications sort of really gave way to native. And so I thought, if I update it or we update it, it's not going to be all that interesting, I think, even then. But yeah, I did think it was funny that A-Press cycled back about a year ago and asked me, hey, do you have any interest in this?
Yeah, I mean, now you have like a bunch of native experiences that's cycling back to progressive web apps. So it's like, it just keeps going full circle back and forth between like from web apps to native apps to now web apps. I preferably, if there is a progressive web app compared to the native app, I'll just use the progressive web app. It's for me, it's there's a few apps that I really like on Android that there's no reason why they should be 50 to 100 megs, minus the fact that they're including all these giant libraries for like one function that they don't really need. So I'd rather use the progressive web app where it's a lot smaller and it's the same thing and it's normally faster. And so, yeah, do a lot of that, especially for Grubhub. Because that if in the pandemic now, if the Android app always messes up, but the Grubhub progressive web app, oh, that keeps me fed.
Wow, that's a tip. I've never used Grubhub, by the way, so.
It's good here in Portland where I live, but in other places where I know it's out and about, I do not hear great things from people, so. But it works for me, and so I like it here. I can only recommend it in Portland.
Okay, so let's see. Phone, earlier you mentioned your poor phone that got damaged, dropped in damage, so we know you had bought a Pixel 5 just recently. Any thoughts about a Pixel 6 that's being rumored? When's Google I.O., by the way? Is it next month or is it May?
Yeah, I think it's May 18th.
Okay.
I know it's either the second or third week of May. I just got an email for it the other day. But I'm actually looking forward to that because I really like Google's developer conferences. I'm pretty sure it's going to be all online mobile again this year.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know if you guys ever been to Google I.O. I've been in the city while it's going on.
Never.
And in the city, it's crazy, but I can never actually get the tickets in time. They're sold out within like 30 seconds. But it always looks like a fun time.
It does. And also, well, I don't know about these days where you don't go in person, but I remember years ago, the big draw if you went to Google I.O. is there was like free stuff. Like you'd get a free phone, or I think they got a Pixelbook, or one of the predecessors one year, and
yeah, I think the 2015 Chromebook Pixel. I think that was the one that they gave away.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool stuff. Okay, and speaking of Pixelbooks, so what are you using for a laptop and Chromebook and all that kind of stuff these days?
For my personal laptop for doing all of my personal client work on, that I use a Dell XPS 13 Developer Edition. It's a 2019 one. Currently looking at updating to the new Dell XPS that just came out, and because that one looks super sweet. I've kind of just been holding off on it. I'm like,
I gotta ask you something.
It's like a weird time. Yeah.
I had an XPS 13 back in 2015 or so. So it's been a long time since I used a Dell. But I didn't. What's a developer edition? What's an XPS developer edition? What makes it different?
Those are same machine. They just come with Dell's Ubuntu custom Linux install on it.
Got it.
So they bundle up all their Dell repositories. So you have like all the drivers for everything. It's like all configured you don't have to mess around with the power saving settings and downloading all those extra extensions and tweaking them. They just come preloaded and good. But I still usually end up wiping it and putting a different distro on it anyway. and then just try to pull in those Dell repository into whatever new distro I put on to get all those extra configurations.
And then I know Chromebook, we were just talking about that earlier. So you're using a Pixelbook, right?
Mm-hmm. I have a Pixelbook Go. An old client of mine that I did some work for years ago was like, hey, you know, pandemic's been rough. We're closing down the office. We have all this hardware that you could probably use for testing. You want to come look at it?
Yeah.
And they had like 10 Pixelbook Go's. And I was like, I'm going to pick one up and try it out. And I love this thing. It's a great little piece of hardware. Great battery life. Super light. I'm actually using it now. So it's out of all my laptops, I like the camera on it the best. It just works, and it's so thin and so light. And then if I do decide I'm going to do some coding, I just fire up the Linux terminal on it, do whatever I'm going to do, and then put it away when I'm done. It's great. I could do if I really want to hack around on it, like some serious work on it. But it's great for just like poking around, you know, writing small scripts.
Yeah, I got to say that right now I'm on a MacBook Pro 2019, so it's an Intel-based one. It's before the M1s came out. But at any rate, but I only use it for our podcast. I use it once a week on Sunday. It's my Sunday go-to podcast device. And because it's the only thing that really gives me all the tools I want. I mean, I know other people do it on Windows. I just don't know how to do it. It'd be a lot cheaper to do it in a Windows box, quite frankly. But that's what I use. And the rest of the week, if I'm at home, if I'm not working, you know, work, day work, where I use a Windows box, I'm on a couple of Chromebooks that I bought over the years. Sadly, one of my Chromebook Lenovo C330, which is a nice low-cost Chromebook. Sadly, that keyboard is going bad on me, which is, you know... Kind of sad because Lenovo's are known for, you know, good keyboards, generally speaking. But that said, my current favorite Chromebook is another Lenovo. It's a Lenovo IdeaPad Flex 5. Yeah, I think so. It's got, I think, like an i3 or i5 on it. It's a really nice Chromebook. Really like it a lot.
I like that one. I also have a Duet, the Lenovo Duet.
Oh, yeah. I remember you bought that.
If you like drawing, that's great for that. I use that to take all my handwritten notes. Whenever, because I'll leave, now that everybody's working from home, I'll leave my Moleskines everywhere and I can never find them. But yeah. I always have that tablet somewhere near me, so I'll just pick it up and sketch out whatever idea I have for a new app.
What do you use on your Duet to do your handwritten notes or sketching?
I use Google Keep because it works from the lock screen.
Oh, really? I mean, I use Google Keep all the time, but I never thought about using it for handwritten notes or you know. Or diagrams or anything.
Yeah, if you have one of the new pens, they have a new drawing mode, and it'll just save everything as a note for you, but it'll attach it as like a JPEG.
Nice. You know, because actually, the only Chromebook I have that doesn't have a stylus is the C330, the one with the keyboard going bad. all the rest have a stylus. I don't know if you, you probably didn't hear some of the earlier podcasts, but for the Lenovo Flex 5, which is, as I said, a great Chromebook, but it doesn't ship with a stylus. And so I had to wait and wait and wait and wait, and I finally found the Lenovo USI stylus, you know, universal standard, whatever the I is, standard. It's a terrible stylus, by the way. The spring flew out of it is when I, you know, was unscrewing it to get the batteries set up and stuff. And but it works. It, you know, I found the spring and I put it back in and it works. And I haven't been using it for that. I got to try that. I have got to try that. I'm glad you.
Yeah, the Duet doesn't come with the stylus either. You have to go through hoops to find one. I went through about 12 USI, quote unquote, USI styluses off Amazon before I actually found one that was compatible.
Oh, which one do you use?
And I don't even remember. Let me see if I can find it right now. Well, okay. Currently right now, Lenovo just finally filled my back order, so I have the official one. So I've been playing with that one.
I have with the spring that fell out. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I feel like there's just like a little piece of plastic or something on the tip, because it's just like that feeling you get when there's like something on your tip and you're like, I'm going to scratch my screen.
Yeah,
I get that feeling a lot when I try to use it, so I'm not a huge fan of it. Let me see if I can find the one I got off Amazon that I didn't return. We could throw that one in the show notes too. It's nice. It was cheap.
Yeah, and by the way, that's one of the things I really love about the Apple Pencil, both 1 and 2, is that when you're drawing, or as I call it, doodling, when you're doodling on an iPad, it really feels good. I mean, does it feel exactly like a pen or a pencil? No, but it is pretty darn close, and I don't feel like I'm going to damage my screen, and I haven't. I started this doodle project back on January 1, 2017, and you know, I've not damaged any screen yet, knock on wood, you know. So it's done what it's supposed to do.
The one I use is the Pen Oval, Penoval, and that one,
I've not heard
it feels great. It has a little bit of weight to it, so it feels like a heavy pen, and it just glides on the screen. I cannot recommend that one enough. I really like it. It was only like $50, but as far as like a good pen for writing on goes, it's been a lifesaver for me.
Yeah. You know, the ones, I don't like the weight because they're all tiny, but I got a Samsung Chromebook and a Acer Chromebook. I think they both came with Wacom EMR type pens, which are unpowered but active styluses. And they work pretty well. They're not an Apple Pencil, you know, level, but they work pretty well. And I recently bought the ultra cheap, like $60 or $70 Wacom, one by Wacom, I think it's called, which you plug in via USB. And it comes with an EMR, you know, of course it's Wacom, right? So it comes with a Wacom EMR stylus. But it's the size of a regular pencil, I think. So it really feels pretty decent. So I would recommend that, especially for people with kids looking for something cheap and nearly indestructible. The one by Wacom is pretty tough. I mean, it's designed for kids to use. Okay, action camera. I see that you're using like most of us are using your phone for everything. John, you know,
I used to have a little DSLR, but I just don't. There's no point.
Yeah, what's the point, right? Yeah, I was just gonna mention, you know, John and who else was it? Was it Ray? John and somebody. You know, we're using gimbals, so I finally broke down and bought a gimbal, and they didn't tell me you have to actually learn how to use it, so I'm still learning how
to use it. Well, we haven't figured it out yet either, so eventually when we figure it out, we'll let you know.
But I'm slowly learning it, so my one of my mini projects is to take it to the office where there's practically nobody there anymore on a daily basis, and I'm going to just walk through and, you know, do a nice Steadicam video and show everybody what the office looks like without them in it.
Yeah, I looked into gimbals for a while and I really wanted one. But yeah, that was the thing. Like, I have a few friends who do a lot of like videography, like filming for movies and TV shows. So, like, one time they let me play with theirs, and I was just like, I don't know how you guys hold these cameras. These things are, like, this is, like, big, it's clunky, like, I couldn't do it right, but I also couldn't, like, figure it out right, and I was totally doing it wrong. Yeah. So I didn't want to, like, walk around with my phone and, like, try to hook it up to, like, something and just know I'm, like, look ridiculous because I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Well, the gimbal I got is really tiny. Well, relative to what you use, you know, professional rigs. And they're rigs, right? They, like, go around your shoulders and stuff. Mm-hmm. This one you can just hold in your hand. You still look silly, Because, you know, you're standing there with your arms stretched out probably and, you know, trying to film stuff and you're trying to move slowly or maybe not slowly but smoothly, even though it's supposed to do all that for you. It's just kind of a natural inclination, I think, to try to be even smoother when you move, and you probably look like a, you know, ninja in training who doesn't know what he's doing.
That's one of the things I like about new Pixel camera updates. They now tell you when you're like askew.
Yeah.
Or if you just like tilt it a little bit. So I've realized I did not notice before this update came out, I apparently, like, one of my legs is bigger than the other. Because every time I hold my camera up, it's like, you're 2 degrees off.
Well, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, you know, actually, before I got my iPhone 12 Pro, my Pixel 4 and 4a actually had better features like night vision and stuff like that, which I now have on the iPhone, but there's some really neat photography features. And one of the things I really like about the Pixel phone's camera is that it's bokeh, you know, it's blur in the background. Although it doesn't only has one lens, it's AI or whatever they're doing in algorithm is so good. You don't have to be at a certain distance for bokeh to work. Where an iPhone, you have to be like, you're too close. No, now you're too far. Okay. You're too close, you know? So, I really, really do admire that. Okay, now I'm looking at our show notes and I'm looking at your internet connection response. Okay, I'm really jealous. You have got a 1 gig. I mean, several of our friends do. John and I don't. So we're, you know, we live in, you know, backwater areas of the world. So what are you going to do? I don't even have fiber coming out to my home.
I mean, I pay for 1 gig. I don't necessarily get it, but I get pretty close. I mean, Comcast tries very hard, and, you know, I'm just like, oh, you're doing all right, buddy. But, I routinely average about, like, 500 to 700 megabits per second down.
Yeah.
Which is, it's great for everything I'm doing. But they just, they now have CenturyLink now does fiber, like, direct to the house, and they finally hit my neighborhood. So I'm kind of like, I'm contemplating like getting a second line just to test them out and see which one's better.
Oh, wow. Hey, what's your uplink speed on your Xfinity?
Normally anywhere, it depends on the day. Yeah. But some days it's like 30, other days it's like 200. It's supposed to be, I think they said up to a gig both ways, but I knew that couldn't be right because Comcast is just not very efficient.
Yeah. CenturyLink just changed its name, right?
Some kind of issues. Yeah, CenturyLink is like a... Yeah, they do... I mean, I'd imagine... They normally offer DSL up here. Yeah. So now that they're doing just fiber straight to the house, I'm kind of curious about that. Because they are... When I called them up, they said they don't have data caps on them. Right now, I'm currently paying like an extra $30 a month to have unlimited Comcast data. Because if not, they cap you at like a terabyte, and then you're paying a ridiculous fee. You go like I think it's like 200 gigabytes over a terabyte, and you're paying more than you pay if you just got the unlimited. It's kind of ridiculous, especially now where like everybody's working from home.
Yeah. Well, I got to say though, your uplink speed is still enviable because I top out at about 12. So, you know, I don't even come close to 30. I went to go look at it.
Sorry, what were you saying? I was going to ask if you signed up for the Starlink beta, because that's supposed to be at least like a lot faster for downloads. Not sure about uploads.
You know, I have not signed up for it because I don't know if their coverage includes Hawaii yet. I have to go check. I think it does, but I live in a valley, so, you know, I'm not sure what kind of angle the receiver has to be at to, you know, to get anything. I just checked, by the way, so the new branding for CenturyLink is Lumen, which is, I think, derived from the word of light, which is a lot better name and more memorable than IBM's new spinoff. Have you seen that? IBM is going to split in two. And so,
I have not.
Yeah. So IBM, the hardware side of it is going to remain IBM, but the services side, everything not hardware that they're going to split off to is going to be called Kyndryl. Which is spelled I had to look it up, Kyndryl. And they say the drill comes from the word tendril. And the kin, I guess, is, you know, like like together or whatever. But I told my IBM rep, and I have an IBM rep in my day job. I told my IBM rep, really? Kindrel? That sounds like an antihistamine. Like, oh man, you know, my nose is stuffed. You got some Kindrel on you? You know?
And I see. Yeah, I haven't heard about this, and I should probably pay attention to it because I actually use IBM cloud stuff for all my personal stuff.
Well, there will be
Kindrel cloud stuff eventually. Open WISP architecture. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So they will be
function stuff. All that stuff is great.
I also asked him that since the drill part of Kindrel comes from Tendril, if they're going to use the, you know, the Hydra multi-tentacled octopus as their logo or something, but you know, hail Kindrel kind of thing, right? For those of you Marvel fans, you'll get the reference. Anybody's watched Captain America or the latest Falcon and Winter Soldier, but anyway, okay, so Kindrel, Lumen, got it. I'm jealous. And I also see you're using a 5G. Who's your 5G provider over there?
I am using a Google Fi data connection.
Oh, so T-Mobile and Sprint. Yeah.
It's like T-Mobile and Sprint, and it was great over here. And oh, there's my phone yelling at me. Mm-hmm. I mentioned its name, so it woke up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it works great here in the city. I have not been anywhere so far where I haven't got coverage. However, out here they like at least the phone I got was after the pandemic happened. So I don't know how well it works in other cities because I haven't been traveling for work at all. Yeah. But out here in Portland, it works great, and everywhere I go, I just have great 5G speeds.
That's
what
nice.
I'll do is I'll use my my Nexus 5. I'll put that in hotspot mode. And then I'll use my Nexus 4 to like play xCloud or Stadia or something over the 5G connection, and it works flawlessly.
Wow.
Or like, you know, I'll stream video games on one of my Pixelbooks, and I'll just use the phone as a 5G connection, and it just works.
Yeah. That's, you know, in Honolulu, again, you know, we're kind of out in the boonies out here. I mean, Honolulu's an actual city. You know, it's listed as a metropolitan area by the Census Bureau and stuff, but we are in the boonies, essentially. And there is one street about 15 miles from where I live that's supposed to have nice 5G. Everywhere else, it's kind of, yeah. So I didn't buy a 5G device yet, and I'm not planning to. I have to go look at the rollout again. And that was, I think T-Mobile has one, you know, one street that's like fully 5G. Every place else is spotty, you know, so you'll get it. You walk a block and you got it. And 5G cells are really tiny, right? I mean, in terms of their coverage, so... You know, when you look at their coverage map.
Yeah, they're supposed to only cover a block.
Yeah, yeah. You'll see one block covered and there's nothing for three blocks. And so, mm-hmm. And it's also got terrible wall penetration, so it doesn't do me much good. So I'll wait until we get better coverage. Network and cloud, Nextcloud, cool. I've never heard of Nextcloud. What is Nextcloud?
Nextcloud's kind of like Google Drive, but an open source version.
Oh, nice.
I run a local version of it in my office, and I use that to like store any documents or I have an actual file cabinet too, and then I'll like scan everything in the digital to try and get rid of the paper. But yeah, I have that all backed up there, and then I have that sync up with offsite storage. Make sure everything's at least backed up twice because you never know when something's going to happen. And then on that same server, I'm also running like my own personal GitLab instance. So
nice.
All my own work and any freelance work I'll take on, I'll take care of all that locally and make sure that it all stays within the local network. So that's I love it. It syncs up with all my devices. I could even push some of the stuff that from certain folders into my Google Drive as well. So use that as like a second kind of like offsite backup.
Nice. Now I remember you were a real fan of Stadia from the very beginning. What's happening with that? Is that still around? I mean, I haven't been tracking it. I'm not a real gamer, so.
Still around. Everyone thinks it's dying, but it's still around. It's doing great. They're launching games all the time. New Resident Evil's coming out, I believe, day and date. The last few big AAA games have been coming out day and date. And for the most part, minus Outriders, everything has just worked great on Stadia with very few issues.
Nice.
I love it because, at least for me, I have internet network to support it. And I just happen to live in a city with super fast internet, so I could just use it everywhere.
Rub it in.
Yeah, I don't get a lot of time to game, and when I do get like that 5, 10, 15 minutes, I'm usually like, you know, sitting in a waiting area, like, you know, looking to go get another vaccine appointment, or like, you know, hanging out somewhere like the DMV, trying to, you know, get in there after like a 4 month waiting period to update your ID. So just out and about, you know, got 10, 15 minutes and can fire up a game, play it, cancel it. Then when I'm at home, you know, play it on my TV. Everything looks great. A lot of the games I would play on an Xbox or a PlayStation happen to be on Stadia as well. So the benefit is now all my save data is in one place. So when I hop from one device to another, I don't have to worry about like, do I have to save here? Do I, you know, was I playing this on the PlayStation or on Xbox? Like, do I got to go upstairs if I want to play the PlayStation, or downstairs if I want to play the Xbox? No, I just play what I want anywhere.
Nice. I, you know, like I said, I am not much of a gamer. I blame John, as I blame him for a lot of things. I did get Apple One, which included Apple Arcade a couple months ago, and I became hooked on a couple of games, but, you know, I'm just a casual game player at best. I don't even do the multiplayer stuff in Apple Arcade. It's just like kind of like not maybe not like you, but at least for the 10, 15 minute kind of thing, that's me, except all the time. No real long form games. But okay, you got to tell us about, you know, so we came to the end of the list that John and I normally ask people. You got stuff going on that, speaking of arcades, why you haven't been painting. You know, so I think I mentioned earlier that Rocco is the inspiration for my daily doodle project, one of two inspirations.
Thank you.
What are you collecting, and how much space do you have over there?
So right before the pandemic originally hit, I was toying around with the idea of opening up a bar and arcade. Was going around looking at property for months on end, and then like right before I was about to bite the bullet and make a decision on something, like the pandemic hit. So I was just like, I was kind of bummed out because I really wanted to have a bar and arcade. So I had this empty room in my house. It was a room that they call it the upstairs quote-unquote family room, but it was really just a room where the cats hung out. And I thought last year, I was like, you know, I'm going to slowly but surely like just bring in some games and build this into a bar slash arcade. And then fast forward like a year later, this year in March, I realized I just remembered that I was going to do that, and I hadn't started at all, so I figured I guess that was slow enough, and I just went crazy and bought like a bunch of arcade one-up machines and just started putting them together. Probably bought more than I could put together by myself in a reasonable amount of time. I'm building an actual bar as well. I have a bunch of wall decorations coming in, and I'm going to try my hardest to make that look like an actual barcade. Currently right now it's going to have, I have my original arcade cabinet that was an old Magic Sword cabinet. I built rebuilt myself a few years ago. That was fun. That's where I got to learn about all the internals of it. And I have an old Donkey Kong bar top that I like refurbished, and have a Raspberry Pi retro arcade set up in there. And then, I just put together the Neo Geo MVSX last night, and that's a fun little, like, mini quarter-size unit. And then there's, like, 7 or 8 different arcade one-ups I got in there, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ms. Pac-Man, regular Pac-Man, Marvel vs. Capcom. I'm waiting for the Golden Axe 2 cabinet to show up. I have an NBA Jam cabinet, which that one's pretty awesome because it hooks up to the internet, so I can just play against people online. And I just been slowly hooking them up and getting everything ready, and just trying to make that whole upstairs area actually have that old classic bar feel.
See, you're the only person we're going to ask that question of, because nobody else is doing that. Not even close. I mean, John's Raspberry Pi Game Boy is about as close as we got to somebody doing
that. Yeah.
See, I started off making those just like little Raspberry Pi arcades, but then the bug hit me. I needed I just needed to get more and more and more. And honestly, I'd go with full-size cabinets, if it wasn't for the fact that this I'm using the family room that's upstairs, and I'm not sure that I could hold that much weight up there without causing some structural injuries to the house. These arcade one cabinets, they're super light, so they work out great. I've done the math. I can probably fit 30 in there uncomfortably, but I'm gonna probably stop at like 15. I mean, there's only so many you need.
Yeah,
just like get a nice variety so I can like swap them out.
Oh boy, that sounds like fun. Way too much fun for me. Way too hard for me. All right. Well, you know, I know you can't discuss your actual work, but if you wanted to mention some of your past achievements with Roku, they're really interesting to me.
Yeah, since I started off with Roku, I've worked on teams that have done things like we brought the Roku Channel Store to the web. That was something that when I started there, we didn't originally have, and there wasn't a lot of us back then. I think there was probably less than 100 of us. So it took a lot of... having a lot of great managers who would just kind of embrace, you know, just new ideas and give people the free rein to make those ideas and bring them into fruition. From there, helped out build out a lot of Roku's external facing sites. And then I think the last big external project I worked on was when we brought the Roku Channel to the web.
Mm-hmm.
For those who aren't familiar with the Roku Channel, you can go and watch a lot of free ad-supported content or subscribe to certain channels like Showtime. And it's been a while since I actually looked at the channels. Yeah, it is a growing list of subscription services that you can add on to it. Or you can just watch whatever they're offering for free and then watch a few ads here and there. It's great if you're looking for just content that you just can't find elsewhere. They just released a new blog post recently. Yeah, they got from that new, I think it's Kubi.
They bought that thing.
Yeah, they bought all their original content. That's coming into the Roku Channel soon as well. They just released a blog post on that. But I mostly build out web applications for a lot of stuff that we do internally. So. Try to make everybody's life a little bit easier by building out tools that fit needs that we have.
Cool.
Not really sure how much more I can go into.
No, that's fine.
They keep me busy, and it's a lot of fun. And as far as everywhere I work, it's probably the greatest place I've ever worked.
Awesome.
They have it's weird. I've worked at a lot of places, especially in the web field, but it's weird to actually work somewhere where you have. Just everybody I've met on every management level has just been encouraging and nurturing and just like excited about new ideas presented to them. And just everybody's just, you know, just on board to build new great things. And like I've done freelance for companies from Intel to Microsoft, and it's just not the same experience as other professional tech environments.
Yeah, I hear you. And my last question to you is, when are you going to get back to painting?
Oh, that actually, once I'm done building out the barcade, I have another spare room where that's holding just all the stuff that was in the barcade room. So I plan on getting rid of all the stuff from that room, and then I'm going to turn that into a painting room. Because my daughter also dabbles in art, and she's like, yeah, let's set up a painting room, but we are out of space.
I should note that when I say painting, Rocco actually uses like paint, the wet stuff.
I do it with acrylic, which is funny because I'm not an actual artistic person. Like I couldn't sit down and draw something out, especially as good as all your recent art that's been up on Facebook. I'm not good like that at all, but it's all like, since it's all video game pixel art,
what's great?
For me, it's like paint by numbers. I'm just like, okay, you know, this square is black, this one's red, this one's blue, and it's very relaxing.
I got to tell you, I really, you know, I remember when you used to post them, you would do like, I don't know, one every week or so. Maybe you would complete, maybe not that fast because it's a real painting. But I remember you used to post them, you know, a couple times a month at least. And I go, I love this stuff. This is great. And then you stop and go, what happened?
When I originally stopped, I had a very small house at the time I was renting.
Yeah, you're out of room.
There was just no more. there was no more wall space. Especially when I started making the wood sculptures. Those take up a fair amount of space and they're heavy too. So you can't like mount them. You got to like find weird ways to like display them on easels. And they just take up just a lot of area on the floor. So then and then I moved into another house, which wasn't that much bigger. So while I think I stopped when I had like 50, 60 paintings.
Yeah.
So there was paintings in every room of my house, to the point where, the person I was dating at the time was like, we should just limit these to the certain rooms where we don't have to see them. Like the only rooms that they weren't in was the bathrooms. Cause I'm like, oh no, that humidity would ruin the paintings.
You could change different kind of paint, but anyway, or you could do lithos, you know, of your painting. what I was going to suggest.
Now I have a nice, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you have a Chromebook Duet and you have a stylist that you're pretty happy with. I recommend Infinite Painter. I think it's called Infinite Painter for Android that runs great on Chromebooks. You might want to check it out. You know?
Nice.
I think it's $10.
Yeah, lately I've been, what do they call it? I want to say Ace Sprite. I've been doing a lot of Pixar, but computer style.
Yeah.
I think it's Ace Sprite, or I can find it later. But it's a neat little program where you can just do everything in PixArt and make your own things. I mean, part of the whole barcade thing is I'm going to also try to make an arcade game as well and stick that in there so I have my own arcade game in there.
Nice.
And then on the side, I'm also working on a Game Boy game, so making PixArt for that too.
Oh, wow.
I try to keep very busy.
I had no idea how long this
pandemic was going to go on. So I made myself a lot of like a little list of like things to do to deal with being stuck at home all the time.
Yeah,
not a bad idea. Something that I think we all needed to do to stay sane this last year. That's why I lost a bunch of weight and wrote two books. So yeah. It was you need to have something.
Yeah, got to keep busy. If not, all the days just start to seem the same. Now they'll be like, people be like, remember that day from like so many weeks ago? And I was like, I have no idea. And they're like, when you first started talking about this project, I'm like, oh yeah, that point in time. Like, I remember that. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you
I don't remember days anymore. I just remember what I'm working on.
Yeah. Well, I actually go into the office twice a week generally. And this past Tuesday, I was in the office bopping around and, just practically empty. But there are things that I need to do there. So I'm there, once or twice a week. And I'm bopping around, and I'm getting pretty happy because I'm thinking, hey, it's Thursday, tomorrow's Friday. At the end of the day, I realize, hey, it's not Thursday, it's Tuesday. so I was really disappointed at that point. It's like, oh, man, it's not Thursday. Tomorrow's not Friday. I still got three more days. But in any case, yeah, it has been a weird, weird time. But that's why when I was talking to John a few months ago, I says, we got to start catching up with old friends, that we've caught up with a few friends, but, folks like you that we stay in touch with, sort of, but haven't really chatted with for, any amount of time. We kind of know what you're doing, but maybe not why you're doing it.
Nine times out of ten, it's because of boredom.
But it has been great. I'm really grateful that you share a lot of the stuff you do on social media in terms of, first of all, starting with your paintings. That was the first one that really... It's like, wow, that's inspiring kind of thing. And, the stuff you've been doing with the arcade games, which that doesn't inspire me because I can't afford that. But it's like, wow, people I know do this. This is cool. as well as a lot of the renovation work I've seen you do over the years. So it's really been fun catching up with you. We'll do this again. It's I don't know if you've listened to any other podcast with some of our mutual friends, but if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. You'll hear some old familiar voices pop up in a podcast starting in January. We started with I think it was Arnie. Yeah, Arnie Hess over in Germany. Mm-hmm. I think we started with. So we'll continue on. We'll continue to go find old friends. And part of the reason we didn't catch up with a lot of folks like you in the day pre-pandemic days is everybody was traveling so much and doing this and that. He says, I can't do it because I'm going to be in Argentina or wherever it is that person's going to be. So it's thought, hey, let's catch up with people before things get, more normal-ish. Hopefully soon. So this has been a great opportunity. Anything else you want to add, Rocco, before I hit the record, stop record button?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I kind of like this whole not traveling for, I mean, I love traveling for work, but not having to travel as much as past year. I'm like, I got so many things that I've been putting off for years done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just funny. After my daughter graduated from college, I said, that's it. I'm not going to travel anymore. Because that was the only reason I was traveling. It was to go see her, you know, whatever. And she's back home in Hawaii now, so I don't have that reason anymore. And I says, well, is there anywhere I really want to go? No, airlines suck. I don't want to go ride airlines. Especially U.S. airlines. International airlines are great, but I don't have anywhere I want to go. I'm going to stop traveling. So, and I don't have to travel for work at all anymore. So it's been, yeah, this is cool. You know, as an introvert, you know, I don't really need to see people up close and personal. You guys, you know, Rocco is about 2,700 miles away. John's about 4,000. That's about as close as I need to be.
You know? it's nice now that there's other people out there like me.
And with the pandemic, this is like very practical, right? Yeah, we don't need to be near each other, you know. In fact, that's a bad idea. All right. Hey, Rocco, thank you so much. It's been great. Thanks, as always, to my buddy John for joining us. And John and I will be back. I always got to check John's schedule, but I'll check John's schedule for next week, and we'll see if another friend can join us. I think you're like number 6 or 7, Rocco. So we're starting to, you know, we're starting getting some nice speed and steam and getting
we're
people
gonna
on.
We're going to quickly run out of friends. We don't like that many people. So that's it's going to be harder and harder as we're doing this, I think.
See, then you gotta like start mixing them and matching them. Like you gotta handle like the WWF in the 90s, just like start putting them in weird, like weird tag team matches.
But yeah, we'll run out of friends. But you know, we surprisingly, as an you know, as I said, as an introvert myself, through the MVP program, I got to know a lot of really, really interesting people, like you, John, of course, and Rocco, and Elio, and Arnie, and a whole bunch of other friends we've had on. In fact, all the friends we've had on have been ex-MVPs in the past, you know, 3 months or 4 months or so. So it's been, that's pretty much the limit of the friends I have. You know, if you're not an ex-MVP, probably not a friend. You know, or if you don't live within 5 miles of me, you know. And I haven't seen those people.
Very elitist, Todd. Everyone that's your friend had to have been called an MVP at one point.
Yeah, so far. I'm trying to think. Yeah, all of the friends we've reconnected with since January have all been ex-MVPs. It's just so we've worked. Maybe we'll try to contact some non-ex-MVP friends as soon as I think of some. We've had some. My local friends, you know, are non-MVPs. Maybe we'll have them on. I should go see if Paul Lawler, who literally lives 1 mile from me over the mountains. I should be able to find him. Maybe I'll ask Paul. Alrighty. This has, like I said, this has been Mobile Views Podcast with John Westfall and our good buddy and guest for today, Rocco Augusto. I had to ask him which way he wanted me to pronounce his last name before we started, because like all of our other friends, I've almost never said their last name out loud. You know, so I was going to ask you now. And I of course, I do Don Sorcinelli's name wrong anyway, even though I know how to pronounce it. So I've gotten that wrong a couple of times. But anywho. We are going to be signing off. I'm going to hit the record button, and we are done.